We'll be in Mark chapter 1 this morning, talking about staying on mission. We'll be primarily in verse 35 through 39 today. So just five verses. And unless you think, oh, great, a shorter passage means a shorter sermon. Not necessarily. Man, this passage packs a punch. It really does. A lot of good stuff in here. And plus, I got my family here. And as I've spent time with them over the past few days, I have realized they really need a lot of preaching. So while I have them as a captive audience, you know, I got to give it to them while I can, you know. So, but if you haven't met them, I hope you'll go do that. They're all right. They won't bite you. They're big, but they don't bite. But we'll be in Mark chapter 1 this morning, looking at just five verses. If you're trying to do something that was, you know, worthwhile, you knew it was a good thing to do, maybe some sort of resolution around New Year's or something like that, but for whatever reason, you just kind of got off track with it, you just kind of stopped, maybe you got distracted, maybe you got lazy, whatever, and you just kind of fizzled out for whatever reason. Maybe it was losing weight, you know, or you know, living on a budget, you know, and actually controlling your spending or eating out less, that kind of thing. You start out strong, you're all fired up about it, and then it just kind of fizzles out. Today, we're going to be talking about that as it comes to staying on mission as an empowered witness. We've talked a lot about that recently. A few weeks ago, the fact that we are all called to be fishers of men. Not in our own strength, but Jesus will make us into fishers of men. But sometimes when it comes to that, that's the kind of thing we can get fired up about, we get excited about, we want to do it. And then maybe after we experience some hardship with it, some rejection, then we just get caught back up in the affairs of life and that kind of thing. And that desire, that passion, that fire can burn out, can fizzle out if we're not careful. But you know, here in America, we appreciate staying power, don't we? Yeah, did you just like get a feeling in your chest there when I said staying power? We love staying power, right? We love the idea of a truck that lasts a long time, right? We love the idea of coworkers who show up every day or employees showing up every day, right? Day after day, on time, and just doing a good job, right? We take pride in doing that ourselves. And when it comes to spiritual things, we should do our best to do that as well. Of course, especially as it comes to being an empowered witness or a fisher of men. Let's go ahead and read our text one more time. In Mark chapter 1, look in verse 35 through 39. The Bible says here, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he got up, went out, and made his way to a deserted place. And there he was praying. This is in reference, of course, to Jesus. And in verse 36, Simon and his companions searched for him. When they had found him, they said, everyone is looking for you. And he said to them, let's go on to the neighboring villages that I may preach there too. This is why I have come. And then in verse 39, he does just that. He went into all of Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. And today we'll see that Jesus didn't just start on mission, but he stayed on mission. He kept the course. He stayed on mission. Before we get into that, I wanted to look at very briefly what we read earlier, what we looked at the past few weeks. That's our first slide up there. It is a day in the life of Jesus. Here in Mark chapter 1, we get a pretty unique glimpse. You know, a lot of the Gospels, they occur chronologically for the most part, yes, but we don't get every single day or every single week or every single occurrence, of course, of what happened, right? We get a selection, a smattering of different things. Well, here, we get a very unique perspective, a very unique glimpse into what a day in the life of Jesus actually look like. You'll notice that as we look through it. Look at verse 21 of Mark chapter 1. It says there, they went into Capernaum, and right away he entered into the synagogue on the Sabbath, and he began to teach. And we looked at that last week, right? How he taught with authority, not like the scribes. He cast out the demon, a very, you know, big thing there in verse 21 through 28. So in verse 21 through 28, we see his authoritative teaching in the synagogue, and of course, casting out the demon as well. In verse 29 through 31, we have the occurrence of him healing Simon's mother. But notice the chronology of this. In verse number 29, as soon as they left the synagogue, so think Sunday lunch, right? Only it's Saturday for them. But as soon as they left the synagogue on Saturday morning, they go to Simon and Andrew's house, and there, of course, he heals Simon's mother. We saw how after she was healed, she immediately began to serve. Let me give an example for us. Once we are saved not to sit, but to serve within the church and to serve our community, of course, as well. But in the afternoon, we see a quiet compassion, right? The healing of Simon's mother. No crowds, no cameras, no flash, no glitz, no glam, just quiet compassion, healing a sweet lady. And then in the evening, in verse 32 to 34, look what it says. It says, when evening came in verse 32, after the sun had set, so the Sabbath has ended at this point, they brought to him all those who were sick and demon-possessed. The whole town was assembled at the door, and he healed many who were sick with various diseases and drove out many demons. And so here we see miraculous power. He heals all different sorts of diseases and problems and conditions that people had. He cast out demons as well. So he's had a morning full of teaching, an afternoon of ministering to Simon's mother-in-law. We see then in the evening, miraculous powers. He heals person after person after person. And then look in verse 35 of our text this morning. We see here the early morning, what happens. So he's already spent one morning, one afternoon, and one evening just ministering to people. Then look in verse 35. The Bible says very early in the morning. So that next day, so this would be Sunday for them, the first day of the week, very early in the morning. While it was still dark, he got up, went out, and made his way to a deserted place, and there he was praying. So after a full day of ministry, Jesus gets up still very, very early the next day, before the sun was even out, and spends time communing with his Father in prayer. Pretty cool. And then that morning and beyond, we see him traveling to stay on mission as he goes around Galilee to preach the gospel of repentance in verse 37 through 39. Jesus was certainly busy about his Father's business, wasn't he? And in his unique role as the Messiah, I'm sure it was very taxing on him physically to do all that, to keep up with all of that, but that's what he did. That's why he came. Let's look at then in verse 35 for our first truth this morning. We'll build off that idea here in verse 35. We see that Jesus stayed on mission. How? Well, through prayer. In verse 35, the Bible says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he got up, went out, and made his way to a deserted place, and there he was praying. So the previous day, he was on mission. He's healing people. He's teaching the truth of the gospel and all of that. And the very next morning, he stays on mission. He refreshes, he recharges by spending time in prayer with the Father very early, first thing in the morning. He stayed on mission through prayer. If you've ever spent good quality time with God in prayer, you know just how refreshing, just how recharging and replenishing even it can be. As you cast your care upon him, and he gives you that peace that passes all understanding. He is able to do that. He gives that peace that passes all understanding. As we pray, it aligns our will with God's will. I know I find myself a lot of times going into prayer, and I've got all these different things I'm going to pray for, right? I say, God, I need help with this. God, I need help with that. I need help with this. At the end, often, I walk out realizing, God, I just need you, ultimately. Right? And he aligns our will with his as we spend that quality time in prayer. It gives us an opportunity to confess our sin, to get right with God, to pray for boldness, opportunities, to be that witness like we looked at in Acts chapter 4 just a few weeks ago. It's an opportunity to help us stay on mission. His disciples, which we are, as well, we're followers of Christ here, and his disciples, they didn't realize the importance of prayer. Look at verse 36. Simon and his companions, they searched for him. When they found him, they said, everyone is looking for you. He's basically scolding him. He's like, hey, you're not where you should be, right? Now, there was a time for Jesus to teach, which he did the day before, right, authoritatively. There was a time for him to do miracles and to heal people and have compassion, and he did. All the previous day, all day, from sun up to sun down, he did all of that. There was a time for him to do all those things, but there also needed to be a time for prayer. Here in our church, we've got DBS coming up, right? There's a time for that. There's a time for our services. There's a time for our various outreaches that we do throughout the year. There's a time for our Bible studies and Sunday school classes and so on. But guess what? There also needs to be a time for prayer. An intentional time for prayer, not just collectively, but in all of our lives individually
as well, just like we see Jesus doing here. And a lot of Christians, we know we should pray more than we actually do, right? Isn't that how it works for a lot of us? But Jesus, the Son of God, we see him taking time to pray, right? And if he needed to, how much more so do we, right? He was God in the flesh, and yet we see him spending time in prayer. And from this passage, from this only verse, a single verse, we can learn a lot about good prayer habits. Number one, our next slide, we see Jesus did a mission through prayer. And how did he do that? Well, first of all, number one, he put effort into prayer. And prayer is effort, right? It's not something we can just do subconsciously. You know, it takes intentionality to spend time, especially in prayer. I want you to notice the four action verbs here. Look in verse 35. I'll look for all the action verbs. So back to grammar class here. But it says, while it was still dark, he, first of all, got up, went out, that's two, made his way to a deserted place, that's three. And then verse four, finally, and there he was praying, that's four. Four action verbs, and it demonstrates the great lengths that he went through just to be able to pray. He got up. That's hard to do sometimes, isn't it? Just getting up in the morning can be very difficult to do for a variety of reasons. But he did that. Not only that, but he made an extra effort to go out and make his way to a deserted, solitary place where he could spend uninterrupted time with Jesus. And there, of course, he was praying. He took great lengths to ensure. He put great effort in to make sure that he could spend quality time in prayer. It's a lot easier to make excuses, why not, right, than to actually put the effort in to make sure that it happens. But I want to ask you this morning, you can answer this to yourself, what lengths do you need to go to? What effort do you need to put in, extra effort, just to ensure that you can have time to pray? Maybe that's setting an alarm. You know, maybe that's getting up earlier than you would otherwise. You know, maybe that's going somewhere like he did to get away, to be able to be alone. What lengths do you need to go through in order to spend quality time with God in prayer? I can tell you this, whatever measures you take, whatever lengths you go to, they will be worth it. They will be worth it. We see Jesus going through great lengths frequently throughout the Gospels. Not only did we see him putting in the effort to pray, but secondly, we see that he prayed in the morning. He prayed in the morning after a full day of ministry, which we just read about, right? Healing and teaching and healing and then healing some more. He put in the effort, but he also prayed in the morning. He got up. We don't really have room for an excuse, do we? If he was able to do that, get before the sun after that long of a day of ministry, certainly we can as well. Not saying it's easy, but certainly we can get up in the morning and pray as well. We saw last month on Wednesday nights, we were going through the book of Psalms, and in Psalm 5, verse 3, David prays in the morning as well. And while we're never outright commanded to pray in the morning, it's not like we're sinning if we don't necessarily. It may not be commanded outright, but it's certainly demonstrated in Scripture in a few places. There in Psalms, here in Mark, other places, and times we see Jesus praying in the morning as well. There's so many benefits to praying in the morning. When we talked about that on Wednesday nights, we gave some of those reasons that people like to pray in the morning. Before we face the temptations of the day, we can spend time with God in prayer, get our heart right, get our thoughts right. Our first thoughts can be on Jesus and communicating with him. We get to lay our burdens, lay our stresses at his feet before the day even begins. You know, every day brings new burdens, new stresses that we have to bear and deal with, new temptations, of course, as well. Often throughout the course of a day, our time is on our own either, isn't it? It's eaten up by work, by other commitments, by kids and grandkids and so on. It can be difficult once the day gets going to be able to take time and pray. Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher of the 19th century, he said this, "Look no man in the face till thou hast seen the face of God. Speak thou with none till thou hast had speech with the Most High." And Jesus, he knew that even in the midst of all his busyness, of all his pressure, that busyness and that pressure should drive him to prayer, not away from prayer. A lot of times we think the opposite though, don't we? Oh, I'm too busy, or I'm too tired, or I have to make sure I do this first, and then if I have time, I will. But he realized that, no, in the midst of all my busyness, all the different pressures and directions I'm being pulled as the Messiah, I need to make sure those things are driving me to prayer, not away from it. A great lesson we can learn from Jesus. And thirdly, we'll learn this about prayer, that he prayed alone in a private place. Look at verse 35. It says, he got up, went out, and made his way to a deserted or a solitary place, probably in the wilderness. And there he was praying. He prayed in a private place alone. And of course, he had to work to get that done. That wasn't just in his bedroom. And that might be the case for you. You might have it easy. You might be able just to, you know, bather at your bed or at your dining room table. He had to work to get that done. We'll see in a few weeks in Mark chapter 6, he hikes a mountain just to get alone to pray. Aren't you glad you don't have to hike a mountain or go hike out into the woods somewhere just to get alone to pray? That might be a good thing to do, but he did that because he was just in so much demand. His disciples were always with him. The crowds often followed him, and he just saw the need to get away alone in a private place and pray. And it's good. You know, it's good, a good thing to do, to pray together with God's people. We do that on Wednesday nights. I love doing that, by the way, on Wednesday nights, praying with God's people for the same things often as well. But there also is a need to get alone and pray. And often the best things that we hear from God, the most work that he'll do in our hearts are when we do get alone, away from distraction, away from phones, away from other people, and just let God speak to us as we spend time in prayer. And that can be difficult. I know Shayla, she's like always stuck with kids. You know, you have young kids especially, you know, it's hard to get away. It's hard to have any time for yourself. And maybe in your situation, you don't have young kids, but there's other demands on your time and of your attention that can make it difficult. But Jesus made every effort to do it. And I love this too about Jesus. His retreat, his time of refreshing, recharging, it wasn't binging some TV show after the kids went down. You know, it wasn't going on some elaborate vacation, even. You know, though those could be good things, it wasn't going to chill with his buddies. It was retreating to a desert place to spend time with his Father in prayer. And that enabled him to stay on mission. He actually taught that we should do this as well. In Matthew 6:6, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says this, but when you pray, go into your private room, shut your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. There is so much value in praying where you won't be interrupted. Spurgeon also said this, the secret to prayer is, guess what? Secret prayer. The secret to prayer is secret prayer. Praying when no one else is around. No one else sees it. No one else knows it. The best way to pray, the best time to pray, is when nobody else is there to interrupt or bother you. But you know, we're a very distracted generation. Even when we're away from our spouse or away from our kids or other people, you know who we're not away from? This thing right here. It's hard to be bored these days, isn't it? You just pull this out, scroll through Facebook, whatever, play a game, talk to people. It's hard to get alone, even from our own phone. But I'm telling you, there is so much value in getting alone to spend time in prayer so you can hear from God. So we see, first of all, Jesus staying on mission through prayer. That took effort. He did all that he had to do to get alone in order to do that. He was willing to get up and pray early if that's what it took. And secondly, we'll see here in verse 36 to 38, Jesus stayed on mission by avoiding distractions. All right, Jesus stayed on mission by avoiding distractions. But verse 36, the Bible says this, Simon and his companions searched for him. And when they found him, they said, everyone is looking for you. And he said to them, let's go on to the neighboring villages so that I may preach there. I love this phrase, this is why I have come. In other words, no, I'm going to stay on mission. My mission is to travel around and preach the gospel of repentance, not to stay here and play to the crowd and build some massive viral following, whatever. No, that wasn't his mission. And so he refuted that distraction. The disciples, they were well-meaning, but they often missed the point, didn't they? And I'm afraid that's us too sometimes. A lot of us, we're well-meaning. You know, we want to be a good Christian and all that, but we so often miss the point. Jesus says, this is why I have come. I'm going to stay on mission. I'm not here to attract some massive mob and overthrow the Roman government, which is what they probably wanted him to do with that crowd. No, he was there to preach the gospel. And so he avoided that distraction. He avoided that temptation to do that. And by the way, those who were in his life, they were giving him the wrong advice. And then those in our life, a lot of times, they do that as well. They're just things that they might say that they think you should do, perhaps, that will keep you from being on mission. Even if they're well-meaning, we need to make sure we are staying on mission. As Jesus said, this is why I have come. People in life will distract us from living on mission. You ever feel like you're being pulled in too many different directions? Yeah. Shayla, I know Shayla. It's so funny to hear the kids. They're all like, mom, 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 mom. Right? And one of them, you know, they want to go watch her jump off the couch, you know, and whatever. Watch this, watch this. Mom, the other one just spilled something over here. Mom, 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 mom. The other one bonked their head. Mom, 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 mom. All at the same time kind of a thing. You feel like you've been pulled in two directions in life. You know, you got work things, you got family things, you got your own hobbies and interests and things like that. Stuff at churches being pulled in all these different directions. And if we're not careful, we can be distracted by those things, even good things, like some of those things are. We can be distracted by those things to the point where we are not living on mission. We're not living as an empowered witness, as that fisher of men that we are all called to be. And while we can't forsake all earthly responsibilities, certainly not, we also at the same time must not put our divine calling to be that fisher of men, to be that empowered witness on the back burner. Right? We've got to stay on mission just like Jesus did. This is why I have come, he says. And of course, when he ascended, as we looked at several weeks ago in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he passed that responsibility, that mission on to us, right? We are called to be those empowered witnesses in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So we might not say this is why I've come, but this is why I have been saved. This is what I have been sent for, is to be on mission as a fisher of men. There's a lot of good things to be involved in life, but sometimes those things can keep us from the most important thing, which is to live on mission. And sometimes it's not a matter of getting rid of those things or going away from those things. It's a matter of seeing the opportunity to be on mission within those things, right? A lot of us are involved in sports, youth sports, that kind of thing. We've got teammates on that, right? That maybe don't know the Lord. They don't go to church. Maybe you have, you meet with people to play games throughout the week, to play sports, to exercise, whatever it is you're involved in, right? Within those things that do keep us busy sometimes, there are opportunities to be on mission, even within those things. Thirdly, we'll see this in verse 38, our final truth. In verse 38, the Bible says, and he said to them, let's go on to the neighboring villages that I may preach there too. This is why I have come. Verse 39, he went into all of Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. And Jesus stayed on mission by keeping the main thing, and that is by preaching. That's why he came. He didn't come just to do miracles for miracle's sake. He didn't come just to draw a big crowd, though he ministered to crowds often. That wasn't why he came. He came to preach. That's exactly what he says there in verse 38. This is why I have come. And it's quite possible this crowd was just like the crowd at the feeding of the 5,000 in John 6, where they weren't really in it for the message. They were in it for the miracles. They wanted more food. They wanted to see a show, another miracle, perhaps, right? They were in it for that, not the right reasons of the message. Many people that Jesus ministered to were like that. That's not why he came. He didn't come to wow people or to put on a show. He came to minister. He came to give his life a ransom for many. He came, as he says here, to travel and to preach the gospel of repentance. But prayer and preaching, it's that 1-2 punch of Jesus's ministry. Something that we should all be involved in. You may not preach a message from behind a pulpit. You may not preach a message like Jesus did ever to a large crowd or a multitude. But we all preach or proclaim in how we live every day, don't we? We all preach and proclaim. We are all able to do that, maybe on a much smaller scale, to those in our life that God has placed in our sphere of influence, those in our family, our coworkers, our neighbors, our teammates, et cetera, our students, what have you. We can all be on mission in those things by keeping the main thing, the main thing, preaching the gospel and sharing the gospel of Christ. So whatever we do as a church, may we keep the main thing, and stay on mission. You can stand to your feet if you would. Musicians, would you come as we have a time of invitation?